Our text for this morning is the gospel which was just read. I'll read again the first couple of verses. It's John 3:16 day, that which is necessary and essential. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is our text. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, in the desert, more than 3,000 years ago, it was a matter of life and death to respond to the promise of God. The fiery serpents were biting the people. They were dying. The Lord had mercy on them, and so he had one of those serpents put on a pole, raise it up high, and through his word, not magic, through his word, as they looked up to that serpent on the pole, they would live. It was a matter of life and death. It still is. As people look up to Jesus and live, or do the opposite and receive the opposite. This message is for families, it's for young people, parents, grandparents. It's a matter of importance. What's important is that we look up to Christ and live. To help us do that, I want to talk about three young people. First person is Tom. Tom was talking to his grandfather at a family gathering after his graduation from high school. And his grandpa said, "Well, Tom, what are you going to do now since you've finished high school?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to college, and I'm going to graduate with honors." He said, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, after that, I'm going to go to law school, and after passing the bar exam, I'm going to set up a successful law practice." And he said, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, I suppose I'll get married, have three kids, live in a big house, belong to the country club, stuff like that." And Grandpa just responded, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, after I make a lot of money, I might try to become a congressman or senator. I think that would be interesting." He said, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, I'd like to retire in luxury and enjoy my grandchildren." Grandpa persisted, "Well, what then?" Tom said, I don't know. I suppose I'll essentially die." And Grandpa said, "And what then, Tom?" There was a pause. And Tom said, "Oh, Grandpa, I don't think about those things very much. I suppose if I live a good life, I'll probably go to heaven." Grandpa said, "Tom, I really find it interesting that you've got your whole life planned out, but not a single thing or thought for eternal life." He said, "Tom, other than studying and working real hard, there's not a lot you can do about the plans that you have. They may or may not come about." He said, "Tom, life has a lot of surprises, and few of them will be under your control. One thing you always can count on is the love of God in Christ Jesus. He promised that everyone who calls on him will be saved. If you have faith in Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sin, and believe that he died on the cross and rose to give you new life, you will indeed have eternal life with God. You see, God took control of that, your salvation. You can be assured of his plan for you, Tom. Oh, one more thing. I know that you think all those things that you're planning are going to make you happy. He said, well, by themselves, they're not wrong. But happiness in life comes from looking up in faith to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and looking up to God, the source of every good. It's the giver of every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. And Jesus himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. He said, please think about it a little deeper, Tom, about this life in the context of eternal life. He said, Tom, I haven't achieved everything that I wanted to achieve in life, but I know that Christ has achieved my salvation on the cross, and I know that in him my life is complete. Well, our second character is Jim. Jim went to church regularly. He had a good job. He was a fairly good student, but recently he had been missing some days from school because he began experimenting with some drugs. His drug habit was getting more costly, so he got a part-time job to pay for the stuff. But eventually, his debt became too great, and he got desperate. He, quote, borrowed his dad's gun, and he went and robbed a convenience store, or should I say, tried to rob the convenience store. He was still kind of strung out on his drugs, and when he looked up, there was a gun in the man behind the counter's hand, and he had dropped the one he had. Well, the family got involved. They asked their pastor if he would testify for Tom at his hearing. Tom was 16 years old. The family wanted him to be tried as a juvenile and not as a felon or an adult. So the judge turned to the pastor and asked him if he would give a recommendation of his character. Why should he be lenient with Jim? It wasn't an easy question for his pastor to answer. He had just talked to Jim after the arrest, and Jim had been quite belligerent. He insisted he was not on drugs. He maintained he was innocent because he hadn't actually robbed the store. He didn't get through with it. And he said, I was just trying to scare the attendant because he was rude to me. And besides, I didn't know the gun was loaded. Well, the pastor explained to the judge that in his present condition, Jim was not at all repentant for what he'd done. And he thought he probably should spend some time confined away from society. In his opinion, Jim needed to learn the consequences of his actions and had to experience them himself. But he said if he's found guilty, he hoped that they would send him to a place that would teach him a trade and work with him, maybe a skill. And then he turned to Jim, and he said, Jim, God loves you, and so do I. You might not believe that right now, but whenever you repent and turn back to God, and find his mercy that is always there, be confident that God will always love you and forgive you and welcome you home. I do hope that you're not tried as an adult, because if you have to live all your life with the tag of being a felon, it's difficult. If you're tried as a juvenile, you can start over once your time is up and your debt is paid. If you're not a felon, you can serve in the armed forces, and frankly, Jim, I'd like to see what a good drill sergeant could do for you. The pastor continued, "Jim, you remember the story of the prodigal son? We had that in Sunday school not that long ago. You'll probably have a Bible wherever you're going to be. Read that story of the prodigal son and read it again and again. God loves you, Joe. No matter what you did, you likely have to pay some kind of a debt to society for what you did. But Jesus has already paid for your sin, every one of them. Keep that in mind." Our third young person, her name is Sue. She's 18 years old. She's an honor student at her school. She runs long distance on the track team. She rarely misses church, and she's been helping teach Sunday school since she was a freshman. Sue's parents say she has never given them a bit of problem. She said she's the kind of person that is just a joy to be around. The track coach had expected Sue to win state this year, championship in her event. As a sophomore, she had finished in the top 10 at state. As a junior, she finished third behind two seniors. And the expectation was that she would win state this year. But toward the latter part of the season, she hadn't felt well, and she got tired. Quite tired toward the end of her second to last race. And she dropped out. She hadn't ever dropped out a race. She was a courageous person to run. Well, she skipped the last track meet to be fresh for the state finals. She didn't feel very well going into the race. And through sheer courage and determination, she finished the race. But she struggled to cross the finish line in last place. Sue was really puzzled, but her parents and her coach were alarmed. They took her to her family doctor and on to specialists. After a series of tests, it was determined that Sue had leukemia. Will Sue ever run again? Will she live out a full, joyous life? Will new methods of treatment work for her? Some leukemia patients respond real well and go on with their lives, and some die rather quickly. Remember where we started the message? Look up to Christ and live. Tom, the young graduate who had everything figured out for this life and not a thing figured out for eternal life, he isn't looking up to Christ to really live. He doesn't even appear to know who the light of the world is to open his eyes. Does God love Tom? He absolutely does. He sent his son to die on a cross for Tom. Well, what will it take for Tom to look up to Christ and live forever? To get his priorities straight and understand his need for a Savior? Tom needs to understand that he could gain the whole world, and yet he could lose his own soul. He needs to believe in Jesus, his Savior from sin. Now, how about that Jim, the would-be burglar? Is he looking up at Christ in faith so that he might have eternal life? Well, not right now. Does God love Jim? He certainly does. He wants the best for Jim. The minute Jim comes to himself, as the prodigal son did, repents of his sin, the Lord will turn him toward home, and when he gets there, he'll throw his arms around him and welcome him and prepare a wonderful feast. The angels in heaven will rejoice the day that Jim comes home. Is that cheap grace? No. This grace cost the Son of God his life. God was willing to reject and punish his only begotten Son. Jesus was willing to pay a debt that he didn't owe, with a price that neither Jim nor Tom could ever pay. Now, how about Sue? Is she looking up to Christ that she might live eternally? Yes, she is. So does God love her more than he loves Jim or Tom? No. He loves all three of them. And he showed it in Christ, who died for the sins of the world. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves each of them and wants them to spend eternity with him through their faith in the grace of the cross. He shows he did it for the entire world. God so loved the world. This is gospel in a nutshell Sunday. It's what it's all about. Real life. God doesn't promise us an easy road. No one has that. But he does remind us of Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, we don't know that, but God does. We only know by faith. We know that in all things, God works together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Look up to Christ and live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.